This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we finish up Amos with Day of Bitter Wailing, Famine of Hearing, Destruction of Israel, the Sinful Kingdom, and Pure Gospel. Join me, Pastor Will Wheaton, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study on demand. Listen at thewordendures.org or your favorite podcast provider.
Now pay close attention, little children. It's somebody you ought to know. Yeah, it's all about a man that walked on earth nearly 2,000 years ago. Well, he healed the sick and
Paul
afflicted.
And his companions and are new in town. They travel down to the riverside where, on the Sabbath, there are certain people praying. One of them is Lydia. She's called a seller of purple. It says she worshipped God. And after hearing what Paul has to say, she asks to be baptized, not only her, but her entire household. What does this teach us about Christian baptism and how important it was to not only the ministry of the Apostle Paul, but also to the growth of the church even today? Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. live on this Friday afternoon, May the 13th. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We'll be teaching a Sunday school lesson, the baptism of Lydia in Acts chapter 16 with Pastor Tom Baker of Law and Gospel. Then it's listener email and the Issues Etc. comment line. Our email address, talkback@issuesetc.org, and the comment line 618-223-8382. Then it's This Week in Pop Christianity. We'll be hearing from a televangelist, Paula White's teaching on being, she says, pregnant with vision. Pastor Chris Roseborough of Fighting for the Faith will join us. Pastor Tom Baker is host of a radio show called Law and Gospel for almost 30 years. He met monthly to prepare his Sunday school teachers for the classroom. Tom, welcome back.
Thank you.
Give us some context for this brief story on Lydia's baptism.
Yes, it occurs in Acts chapter 16, but right before it, is Timothy joins Paul and Silas, and there's a Macedonian call that Paul has, and therefore that's where they were going. And it was right after that, they had gone through Phrygia, Galatia, and when they had come up to Mysia, they attempted to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them. That's very interesting. A vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia was standing there urging him, saying, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." And when Paul had seen the vision, immediately we went out into Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. And that's the beginning of getting into Macedonia and meeting Lydia.
This account is narrated in the first person plural, we. What does that tell you?
It means that the writer of Acts was Luke, because he had written both books and had given them to an individual that he was kind of catechizing. Very interesting. And the man's name that he was catechizing was a name that was well known as a Greek, Theophilus. It actually comes from two Greek words, theos, meaning God, and philia, meaning love. So Theophilus is one who loves God, and Luke is writing to him in both his gospel and then in Acts to tell how God was really going through the people and making many Christians and raising the number of individuals and churches.
Philippi is called the foremost city in that part of Macedonia, a colony. What does that mean?
It is more than a colony. It's referred to as a Roman colony. So this was a place that was set up by Rome. And so we can kind of understand that when the apostles got there, there was really not a worship service among the Jews. There were women that were worshiping, but no men. And it's quite possible that there were not 10 men in the entire area, which was necessary to have a worship service in Judaism. And so being a Roman colony we can understand that many of them were Gentiles also, as well as those who had very little knowledge about Jesus Christ.
Why do Paul and his companions go to that riverside on the Sabbath?
Well, they decided to go there because they supposed that would be a place of prayer. When Judaism did not have a synagogue built in a town or a city, then normally people would meet at the water's edge. And so that's what they had decided to do, gone to the gate beside the riverside. And the reason for that is because that's where baptisms took place, in water. And so it's very important that if someone decided, yes, I have been called by the Holy Spirit in order to believe in Jesus Christ, they could be baptized and brought into the Holy Christian Church.
How is Lydia described?
She's described as a lady from the city of Thyatira, a seller of purple goods, who was a worshiper of God. Now, we got to remember, there were many people that Jesus met that were worshipers of God. The Old Testament did have many believers, but they did not yet know that Jesus was the Messiah. That she was in purple dye, that's what her job was. It was very interesting that Concordia Publishing House, the Sunday School material, tells us that the liquid from thousands of shellfish, that's how the purple dye was made. Now, when it's in the veins of the shellfish, it looks clear. But when it is seen in the sunlight, it turns red and purple. And I would encourage the Sunday school lessons to use the color-changing experiment that Concordia offers to show how something changes color. You boil one red cabbage, divide the liquid among four jars, and then add some vinegar to each jar, and the colors will change. Then you add baking soda to the jars, and the colors change again. And it gives the opportunity to speak with the children on their level how God can change hearts through his word and sacraments, which is what happened to Lydia.
What does it mean that Luke tells us that she worshiped God?
It means that there were many who did worship God, but were unaware that the promises of the Messiah were being fulfilled in Jesus Christ. So recall John chapter 9 would be a good example. The man born blind is then made to see by Jesus. Now, because he proclaims Jesus as his healer, he's kicked out of the synagogue because the rabbis had made an agreement that anybody who would say Jesus was really important could not be in the synagogue any longer. So he meets Jesus, and Jesus talks about the Messiah, and the man says, "Who is he that I may worship him?" And Jesus says, "I am he to whom you are speaking." And the blind man who now sees worships Jesus. So obviously, even blind from birth, he had great faith in the true God and then came to the realization that this Jesus was the fulfillment of the promises of the gospel concerning the Messiah.
It says that the Lord opened her heart to heed the things spoken by Paul. Is that the work of the Holy Spirit?
In fact, that is probably the most important verse in this entire Sunday school lesson, because there are many people today who believe that the way to get someone else to believe in Jesus Christ is to tell them to open up their own heart and invite him into their heart, or say a prayer of invitation, this sort of thing. This is a tremendous verse to show that it was the Lord who opened her heart to pay attention to what was said by Paul. As the third article of the Apostles' Creed makes clear, it's the Holy Spirit who calls us by the gospel. It is not a function that we do. It is a function done by the Holy Trinity, and specifically, this job is that of the Holy Spirit. When the words of Jesus are shared, then a heart can be opened.
Why is it important that she and her whole household were baptized?
Because anytime that, for example, I like going to fast food restaurants, and every now and then I find one that really is a good deal money-wise and the food is good. Well, then guess what I do? I like to take the whole family so that they can enjoy the food at a reasonable cost. And we weren't able to go out that much in those days. And so it's a real treat when the kids hear where we're going out to eat. Well, she now was eating from the Word of God. We have a prayer that talks about digesting the Word, which means we hear the Word of God of Christ, and then we're very, very happy to follow Jesus wherever he goes. And in this case, she did that. And that's why she paid attention, because the Holy Spirit's work was to give her that faith that the words of the apostles were absolutely true, that this man, Jesus of Nazareth, crucified, risen from the dead, that he is the Savior of the whole world.
What should the Sunday school children know about their own baptisms?
Well, notice that in verse 15 of Acts 16, after she was baptized, in other words, it reminds us when Philip baptized the eunuch, and it occurs instantaneously. He was hearing in his chariot about Jesus Christ, and then he saw water. What prevents me from being baptized? Nothing. And they went down and got baptized. And that's why it was important that they were by the river. Now remember, John the Baptizer had used water also for a baptism of repentance. And therefore, being baptized, she had therefore also received what Peter says at Pentecost, you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit and the forgiveness of sins, which is the greatest gift that can occur in our Christian life.
Then what is the long gospel of this lesson?
The long gospel is pretty clear. The law is against anyone who thinks that they can make their own decision as to whether or not they're going to believe in Jesus Christ. We do not have the capability of making that kind of decision because of our sin. And therefore, you cannot find God on your own. The gospel is that we're not saved by going to Jesus, but Jesus coming to us and making us his child. And one of the best Bible verses that Jesus loved to use was the parable of the lost sheep. The lost sheep wasn't running around looking for the shepherd. The shepherd went looking for the sheep, found him, put it on his shoulders, and carried him home. And therefore, that's what happens to every child in baptism. And I do want to say one other thing, that enduring faith encourages that children that you have in your Sunday school classroom who have not been baptized, that they be reminded that God still loves them and forgiveness is for them also, and therefore encourage their parents to speak with the pastor about baptizing their child. And that happens more times than you can expect. So this Lydia true story is a great example of what the early church and today's church can do.
Pastor Tom Baker is host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. For almost 30 years, he met monthly to prepare his Sunday school teachers for the classroom. Tom, thanks.
Thank you.
When we come back, we'll go through your email, talkback@issuesztc.org, and the Issues Etc. comment line, 618-223-8382. Issues Etc. guests are frequent contributors to the Lutheran Witness magazine. The Lutheran Witness is a must-have resource for every Issues Etc. listener. You can receive an annual print and digital subscription for less than $20. Learn more at cph.org/witness or by calling Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040. Interpreting the world from a Lutheran perspective, the Lutheran Witness magazine. cph.org/witness or 1-800-325-3040.
Does God really exist?
Aren't all religions the same anyway?
Who is Jesus?
These are just some of the questions people ask. Apologetics Today one-day seminars with Dr. Nancy Almodovar and pastors from local Lutheran churches will teach you how to give a reason for your faith. Come join us on Saturday, May 14th at Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Boise, Idaho. For more information or to register, please visit LutheranGirl.org.
Your daily Lutheran Bible class. You're listening to Issues Etc.
They've met with the pastor week after week. He's taught them our precepts and Christ Jesus to seek. He shared the law of our God, which we strive to keep, the prayers, the creeds, and the sacraments deep. Now these young saints are right to partake in Christ's body and blood, all for his sake. A gift you are seeking to commemorate this? Ad Crucem has just what you won't want to miss. We've got icons, art, ornaments, jewelry, and more, greeting cards, crucifixes, posters, gifts galore. Your catechized friend will love what you give and treasure the gift all the days that they live.
Not everyone is comfortable with new technology. Dial-A Podcast gives all generations of your congregation an easy way to hear your sermons, or even devotionals and Bible studies. Once you've completed a simple one-time setup, we take care of the rest. All your congregants have to do is dial the number from any phone to listen to your latest podcast, all at no additional cost to them. Dial-A Podcast. Extend the reach of your sermons. Get started at dialapodcast.com now.